This land is your land. This land is mine. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. This is your host, Basma Farhat. We're with our board operator, Don. We're really having a pleasant evening tonight, and I'm really looking forward to our guest speaker tonight. Please feel free to join us on Pal Talk by going to www.paltalk.com and downloading and installing the software, creating a nickname. You can join us in our virtual auditorium. You can also listen to us via the internet through BBS Broadcasting Station Radio. It's a spiritual broadcasting station, and tonight is very applicable. Our guest speaker tonight is a Canadian-born Adam Dreamhealer. That's a fascinating name, Adam, and we'll be... We've got some issues going on, so we're going to go right into the interview. Hello, Adam. Welcome to the People Speak Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Adam, I've read some very fascinating things about your experiences, and my understanding is that even in your young life that you have experienced some prolific healing in issues such as spontaneous cancer regression.
So there's been a lot of cases of people that I've worked on that have noticed huge improvements in their health, everything from cancer to just a sore back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you check on my website, you can see there's literally hundreds and hundreds of testimonials, majority of which are from people that have come to my workshops, come to these conferences that I do around North America, which are the focus of my work is essentially self-empowerment. I did have a lot of very interesting healing experiences when I was younger, as you were saying. And, like an example is, this is before the healing had started. It was, there were a lot of strange telekinetic things happening around me, you know,
mm-hmm.
like pens flying into my hands and things like that. And then when I was 14, I realized that I was seeing something that other people weren't. I was seeing auras. And once I realized this, first of all, my mom has had MS, multiple sclerosis, for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And with MS, there's a very common symptom called trigeminal neuralgia, which is a stabbing pain inside the head. And one day, for a reason I'm not sure why, this was after I realized I was seeing auras and other people weren't, I went up to a room, and I put my hand over her head. And then I went into this strange trance, and I couldn't see anything else in the room around me except for these images of my mom in front of me. It was like I was navigating throughout her body. And
mm-hmm.
I could see the problem inside her head. It was very clear to me what the problem was. And I grabbed it, and I pulled it out of her. And as a result of me doing this, her pain vanished. She never got another pain. Even to this day, she never got another pain. Like, you wouldn't know she had MS unless she told you.
Fascinating. Adam, when did you actually understand that was that your first experience with an actual healing?
Yeah, that was my very first healing experience.
And prior to that, did you ever experience, I understand that you had a lot of telekinetic experiences, and that's very common with prolific and natural healers. As these things happened, were other people able to witness any of these telekinetic experiences?
Definitely. That's what really started to bring my family on side, was that they were witnessing all these telekinetic events. Before that, it was, little things happening in school, and I would, like pens flying in my hands and stuff like that. And I would tell my parents about it, but, they're just going to say, it's a young kid's imagination sort of thing, right? But then when they started to witness some of these things, they really started to pay attention to some of these things were happening. And it was at that point, being so young, it was very important to have my family on side and having a supportive family. And my family's always been supportive, but it was when they started to witness these things that were happening that it really brought them outside and really started to drive everyone in my entire family to try to understand what is happening here.
Let me ask you I'm trying to kind of build up some kind of a background. I am a healer myself, Adam. I am a Reiki master. I've been for many, many years. I also write and produce workshops. So I understand the nature of healing. I am not a natural healer. I mean, outside of the fact that I believe that, like you, that all of us have the capacity for healing. But I do believe that there are clearer vessels, and obviously you have been showing the various predominant features of a natural healer. When you were, as a child, did you have any religious connotations in your background? Was this part of your history or your familial background?
No, I was not raised under any religious background whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I was not. We weren't a New Agey family or anything like that. We weren't into any of this stuff. This stuff was completely new to us. So it was. And I guess the thing that was really made things a little more difficult was the fact that we really didn't have anyone to relate to.
Right.
You know, just because of the fact that we weren't into any of this stuff, we didn't know what was happening. We didn't know who to go to, and that made things quite tough in the beginning.
Did it ever frighten you, Adam?
I wouldn't say it so much frightened me. I think it really drove me to understand what was happening here. And I think there were times where it was confusing because, you know, I'm experiencing these things, I'm seeing these things, and half the people are telling me I was crazy, and the other half are telling me that it was a gift. And at that young age, you know, I really didn't know what to believe. And it was when some of these things that I started experiencing started manifesting physically, and many people were there to witness it, that I began to realize that it really was a gift.
And what part of Canada are you from exactly?
Vancouver, BC.
Vancouver. And the workshops that you do are in the Vancouver area?
No, the workshops I do are all over North America.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one in LA on December 10th.
I understand you've actually been interviewed by Primetime.
Yeah, I've been interviewed by Primetime. There's been quite a few interviews that I've been on. The Primetime one wasn't necessarily the most positive one, but it was one that, you know, made me more well-known in the States.
Are you affiliated with any of the major organizations, such as the Noetic Science Organization, or any of the organizations that are currently doing the studies and research into
I've done some studies with IONS. You know, just minor minor things, no major studies with them. But I am, you know, I'm a strong supporter of IONS. I do believe very strongly in a lot of things that they're doing. And
Could you tell our listening audience what ION is and what your affiliation with them was?
Well, ION stands for the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and it's essentially an organization that is devoting a lot of time and energy into it's devoting research into understanding consciousness and understanding a lot of these things that are considered paranormal. And it's really fascinating, a lot of the studies they come up with. They've come up with some really amazing stuff, which just proves beyond any doubt that something is happening here. And it's been proven over and over again by them. And there's Dr. Edgar Mitchell. He was the sixth man to land on the moon. He was he's the founder of IONS, Institute of Noetic Sciences. And I've actually done several talks with him across North America. And he's been a very positive influence on me. He was very helpful in, because I'm a very scientifically minded person. And I believe that everything can be explained in scientific terms. And he was very helpful in showing me that these things that I was experiencing are explainable by science, and that there really is a scientific explanation as to what is happening.
Well, I absolutely believe that. I, as a healer and as a writer in this field, many times the understanding that one must blend the sciences and the spirit in order for us to have a whole picture of what is really happening in existence is not so foreign that for people, you know, of our background, yours and mine, in the healing communities. I find that the polarization is usually between the science and the spiritual communities themselves.
Well, I mean, they are starting to get very strongly interlinked. You know, before they were considered completely separate, but there are a lot of very interesting and intriguing scientific studies which are showing that there really is something happening here with a lot of these things that were considered paranormal. And I think that the main difficulty that comes with studying a lot of these things that people consider paranormal is the fact that it really comes down to our own personal description of the event, whatever it is. It's a subjective interpretation. I mean, like, you could have 10 people in a room. Every single person experiences the exact same thing. Every single person gets the exact same intuitive information, so to speak. But every single person in that room will describe it differently. Every single person will have a different perspective on what they experience. So that's what makes a lot of these things very difficult to study, just the fact that it comes down to our own subjective interpretation. And I guess another study that you could relate to this is the fact that when we're trying to observe a lot of these experiments, the way science is set up is that the observer is outside of the experiment and not involved in any way. In theory, the observer should be objective and not be influenced in the experiment. But when we're trying to study intention, how can you study intention without the observer's preconceived idea of what's going to happen with the experiment affecting the results? So, I mean,
you can't. And as a matter of fact, this is the whole aspiration of the scientific community, is to somehow separate the objective and become an objective observer of the scientific perception that you're dealing with. And it can happen. At least we have not been able to tap into a way of it happening.
Well, exactly. And that's what's really amazing, is that in itself, the fact that it's very clear, there's no doubt that being an observer in any experiment does affect the results. And that in itself does show that we are influencing the things around us with our intentions. And it's not only that. I mean, there's literally countless of scientific studies that support that intentions are affecting things far beyond our conscious awareness, not only health, but in influencing things all over the place, such as random number generators. They're influencing all sorts of things. And so we're just beginning to understand what our intentions do influence.
Let me ask you something, Adam. In your actual healing work, there are many modalities of healing throughout the energy community, and I find that with my own healing, my traditional Yusui background of Reiki is a hands-on form of healing, but I find that I'm much more powerful at about 18 to 20 inches off of the body. For me, that has always been a very, very acutely, I'm acutely aware of that aspect of it. Many people call this spiritual surgery. How do you define your technique in healing? And I think all of us have some kind of a technique that we develop and that grows within us.
Well, I think that, first of all, it's important to understand that every single person has their own unique connection to these energies. Every single person will do something a little differently. And
exactly.
I think one thing that a lot of people tend to do is a lot of people tend to say, this is the right way, this is the wrong way. And, that's really not the right way of thinking. If you have a belief system, if this is your modality and you feel strongly that this works well for you, then that's what you should be doing. It's whatever works well for you, because every single person has a different
connection. Works well for you, Adam?
And what works well for me is, it's really difficult to describe. Basically, I look at these people, I look at their faces, and I go into these trances, and I start, doing all these strange movements. Physically, I'm not aware of what I'm doing, but I go into these trances, and I just start seeing things in front of me of the person, and I'm able to, select what I want to see. If I wanted to zoom in on a certain area, I can just see that. It's really difficult to describe a lot of these things I'm seeing, because it happens so quickly. And a lot of it's happening on a much more subconscious level. Like, a lot of things are happening so quickly, I'm not consciously trying to change these things. So it's really difficult for me to describe, but that's essentially what I do. I go into these trances, and I just start changing these images that I'm seeing in front of me.
And asking you to describe it, I agree, is just totally, almost silly when you know the nature of this. A lot of people are very in tune. When we look at the mindscape of our own minds, we have to understand that our minds are never, they don't work like the rest of reality or the explainable reality.
Well, exactly.
They work in abstract.
A lot of these things, the more you try to describe them, the more confused you get.
Exactly.
A lot of these energies that we're working with, and as you yourself being a healer, I'm sure you can attest to this, is that I would say that a lot of the information that we're getting, in fact, I think most people, the majority of the information that they're getting when they're working on someone, whether it's hands-on or not hands-on, a lot of it is just a gut feeling. It's a very strong intuition. And these things are not necessarily strong visual images in front of you. A lot of times it's just you don't know why, but you just are drawn to this particular area, or you just have this strong sense about a certain area. And mm-hmm. so it's very difficult to describe a lot of these feelings that you get when you're working with someone.
How easy was it for you to learn to trust your intuitive process?
Well, I think, as with anyone else, there has to be a point where you know that what you're doing is working. And at that point, mm-hmm. You just kind of, you know, it is difficult to just trust your intuition solely. When I'm doing these healings, you know, it happens so quickly. My intuition just draws me directly to the area that I'm supposed to work with. And sometimes, like I said, it's difficult to go on your intuition sometimes, but I think it's important for all healers out there to just trust your intuition. And I think the best way to do that, as I said, is you have to just have some experience which proves to you that what you're experiencing is real. You know, you can say you believe in it all you want.
I was just thinking to myself that must have been actually very, very a blessing that you had a lot of telekinetic experiences as a child, because you were able to witness that which you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
You witness the manifestation of the energy, moving energy.
Yeah,
and I think for healers such as myself who have worked to attune their own and align their trust, align their spirits with the belief system without, maybe it was a little bit harder for us. Not that I'm minimizing what you go through, because I know anybody in the healing belief system knows that the skepticism is profound in these areas. And people are just waiting for you to trip up, or waiting for you not to heal something, or waiting for you to just do what you do and say, ha, there it is, it didn't work.
Well,
without actually witnessing it.
You know, there's always going to be skeptics. Whatever it is, there's always going to be skeptics. But I think people going into this field will be surprised how many people are actually interested and into all this stuff. Like,
it's astounding.
There's way more people interested in these things than you know. And I think that really what it comes down to is whether that person has experienced something that showed them something paranormal, so to speak. You know, for example, there's many farmers that have come to my talks, and they're very interested in these energies, because they know that these energies are working, because over the years of working with these animals, they have watched these animals interact. They have watched these animals communicate without actually seeing things. There's
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of just interesting examples like that. So it really comes down to whether the person has experienced something or not. You know, you can judge how, you know, if someone hasn't had any experience like that, chances are they're not going to be as receptive or open-minded to these energies.
Adam, do you work with lower energy vibrations, such as animals and crops and that type of thing at all?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't consider them lower energy frequency. I really don't like to think, any organism is more special than any other organism. But yes, I have worked with animals, you know, my cat, for example.
Absolutely, I stand corrected. Poor choice of words.
Because a lot of people do look at it that way, though. A lot of people do say that, you know, when they're working with these energies, they think that we're, you know, very more special than the rest, sort of thing. I really don't like
that. Well, my consideration was that they were less dense than some of the more enlightened aspects of the universe.
Well, I think one thing that I find interesting about working with animals is that humans, our conscious mind tends to eliminate a lot of things that we're sensing. You know, for example, you'll feel something, like they feel heat or tingling, for example, and then the conscious mind dismisses it as being nothing. They say, you know, your mind just says, oh, no, that was nothing. That was just, you know, the little vibrations of the, you know, a fan or something. Your mind just justifies it and dismisses it. Whereas a lot of these animals that I've worked with, you know, I don't work with animals too much, but I have worked with animals in the past, they don't have the consciously, they're not eliminating these things that they're feeling, because they know they're feeling it. And
right.
So they're very sensitive to these energies, I find. I think most people that have tried working with animals will notice that you start working with them, you can tell that they're noticing that something is happening.
Well, I've often said here on Pal Talk, and this is the virtual auditorium of Pal Talk, and you've got a lot of listeners in here, that we should aspire to regress to animalistic behavior because, to be quite honest with you, I guess some of the events that are going about in the world today, are we really an elevated species? Who knows?
Yeah, you know,
it's a really interesting dilemma we're looking at.
I think really we're just fresh out of the cave.
I'm telling you. Adam, was there any particular experience that you had outside of maybe your mother's experience that you'd like to relate to us that was maybe especially profound in your eyes?
Well, I think one example was my very first vision. And as I said earlier, I mean, you can say you believe in this all you want, but until you have an experience that proves to you that what you're experiencing is real, it's really not the same. Anyway, when I was 15, I had this incredibly vivid vision, this incredibly vivid dream of soaring across the oceans, running through the woods, and then I was going to find this large black bird sitting on top of a hill. And this voice told me that I had to go to Nootka. And I never heard of this place before, but I told my parents this, and they ended up booking a trip for us to go to this place. And it's this very isolated, very remote island off the west coast of Vancouver Island. And anyway, they booked this long trip to get there. And when I got to this place, I knew exactly where I was. I knew every rock. I knew every tree. I had this whole place memorized, yet I'd never been there before in my life. And you got to remember, my entire family, my mom, my dad, my grandma, my grandpa, my uncle, we all went this way because of this vision I had. We all went this way looking to see if there would be this large bird that I had in this dream several months earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So we go all this way, and I'm walking along the main path, and I just know at one point I have to turn off. And if you've ever been to the west coast of Vancouver Island, it's not like little spread out forest. It's very dense, very thick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go through this thick forest for, 100 yards or so, and then I saw it, the big black bird just as in my dream. And this bird, and I have pictures of this, and I have some pictures of it in my third book. This bird is literally 4 feet tall. It was this Goliath bird, and it was just sitting there, just glaring at me. And to me, I mean, skeptics can come out and say it's a large parrot or something. You know, it really doesn't matter what the skeptics say. The fact is, I went all this way looking for this bird that I had in a dream several months earlier. And at the moment I saw this, it really triggered something in me. At this point, I knew that what I was experiencing was real. There was no longer any doubt. Every single cell in my body knew that there was really something happening here. And for me, that was a major turning point for me. And that was a very powerful experience. And it really, my healing abilities really rapidly evolved from that point.
I agree. I had a similar experience after a series of very intensive meditations. And during that meditative process, I at the time, of course, and I was very fortunate, unlike you, were very lucky to have supportive family and to help you deal with it, or at least find out what was going on, or to aid you in your path in finding out. I was dependent on friends, and I'm very grateful for my friends because I thought at the time that I had gone crazy. It's like, oh my God, you really pushed the wrong button with your meditation this time. And we didn't know what was happening. And from that moment on, my energy was totally awakened. It was, as it turned out, I have come to understand it as this Kundalini experience that awakened my entire energy system. And for weeks, it was so profound that I was physically exhausted. I could feel my fingernails. I could feel each hair on my head. I felt the gristle and the bone structure of my body. I felt every organ. There was not anything in my body that was completely alive for the first time. And the interesting thing about that experience, Adam, was that it was this circular, swirling energy that surrounded me. And at the time, as I said, I'm very grateful that I had incredible friends and I was able through a lot of nurturing experiences, good diet, to be able to to calm it down eventually because it was almost out of control mm-hmm. at that point. But from that moment on, I, like you, understood that it was real. It couldn't, everything else paled in comparison to that moment.
Yeah, and I think it's very important for all healers, or anyone trying to experience and work with these energies, it's very important to have an experience like that. And having an experience like that is not something that you can force to happen. It just happens. And you have to be patient and just let it happen. And when you get these visions, or you know, a lot of people would describe them as just a very vivid dream, try following up on it, and you'll find some very interesting coincidences.
You know, when you were talking about the bird, I was reading some of the things on your site, and there was an incidence of the white crow. Can you talk to us about the white crow?
The white crow. Well, that actually wasn't mine. That was actually a picture taken from one of the participants of my workshop. But basically, the story of the white crow is that it only takes one white crow to prove that there is one. And that's one of the ways that it was described, one of the stories. There was a whole story behind this white crow.
And I believe
crow.
It was a physician that had spoken about the white crow, and he came to understand for himself how spontaneous cancer it can be healed. Have you had more than one experience with cancer?
Oh, no, I've had many, many experiences with cancer. But one thing, though, I'm really trying to get away from is that people hear the word healer and they think, you know, they do these, you know, strange rituals and then every single person magically gets better. You know, but that's really a very unrealistic expectation of healer. No healing modality is 100%. But the focus of my work is showing people how they can participate in their own health. So I don't like to say that I healed these people of cancer. I like to say that I assisted them in their own healing. You know, like
amazing.
I do
that's wonderful, and I am thrilled to hear you say that, because the area of energy work is so open to charlatanism, so open to people that can basically work in on people that are so vulnerable.
Yeah,
people are struggling, especially people with cancer. This is an incredible human struggle.
Yeah,
and
you know,
for someone to go into something like that and say, well, I can't, what they think of is we are curers, and that is not our position.
Yeah, exactly. It's I have never claimed to be able to cure everyone of everything. That's just the conclusion that people come to when they hear the word healer.
Exactly.
But like I said, really the focus of my work is showing people how they can work on themselves, how they can influence their own health by utilizing this mind-body connection that we all have. And I also very strongly feel that by doing these conferences that I'm doing, you know, all around North America, that is how I can help the most people, by showing people how to do it themselves. It's just not physically possible for me to work on every single person. I just can't do it. I'm only one person. But if I show people how to do it themselves, then a lot more people will be helped.
Well, amazing! My enlightened hat off to you, Adam Dream Healer, because I absolutely am an advocate of that type of mentality. In fact, I don't believe that anyone can heal anyone else. That all of this is a choice that we have within us. It is a gift that we all can nurture, and many of the techniques that are available or have been available throughout throughout time for the picking and choosing. And it's wonderful, especially when someone as gifted as you obviously comes into this world or this incarnation and is able to be a prolific, trusting expression of the energy. I think it's fantastic. You know, we have a contest here, Adam, and for those of you in our listening audience on BBS Radio, I'm afraid you can't participate in this. You have to log on to Pal Talk at www.paltalk.com, and you generate a nickname, and when you're in the virtual auditorium, this is how you win and get into our prize category. The prize tonight is Adam's book, Adam, can you tell us briefly about your book before I actually ask the question?
Well, there's actually three books. The first book that I wrote was essentially just to share my experiences with others, because when I was first experiencing a lot of these things that we were talking about earlier, there was really no one for me to relate to. And so I felt that by sharing my experiences with others, it gives something to other, it gives other people a chance to relate to some of the things that I was experiencing. And it also talks a lot about self-empowerment. And the focus of the next two books, a lot of that is also self-empowerment.
Well, one of the books is going to be coming your way as soon as the third person in our virtual auditorium answers this question. And the question is, what country is Adam from? Now, I've mentioned it three times on the air, everybody. So for those of you that were paying attention, you have a great chance of winning one of his books. And those of you that did not, I'm afraid you're going to have to pay much closer attention to Vixie and Adam and Bathma when they speak. And for those of you that are in our BBS listening audience, this is an additional incentive for you to join www.paltalk.com. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to take a short break right now. And right after we come back, hopefully we will have a winner of the contest. The third person, what country was Adam from?
House Resolution 635. This is Immortal Technique. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggested George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war in which tens of thousands of civilians were killed. We are told to look upon these deaths as an exaggeration or an acceptable loss in the war on terror. But this administration has lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, and produced phony news reports. People have been imprisoned without charges and tortured, and illegal weapons used. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation. Peace.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive, but there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF. Millions of people are doing it on Pal Talk already. Meet new friends, see and be seen on webcams, and share files. With real-time video and the ability to talk to all your AOL, MSN, Yahoo, and ICQ buddies from one list, Pal Talk has it all. Join hundreds of chat rooms or start your own. Visit www.paltalk.com today and download the new messenger for free. Pal Talk, communication beyond words.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the People Speak radio program. The people tonight are speaking with Adam, the Dream Healer. And I apologize, it was not a book, it was a DVD called Dream Healer, and that is going to be the prize tonight. Do I have a winner? Did anybody bother to write it down for me? Mike, I guess my staff is a little bit busy right now. Okay, I'll wait until they get the winner to me, and then we'll go right ahead with the interview. Again, welcome back to the People Speak. If you choose to, we have a toll-free line. The telephone number is 877-876-5227, and the worldwide toll-free number is 888-810-8322. Please call in. You can have Adam a question. When you do call in, just wait for a minute while we announce you or complete our thoughts, and I will be sure to announce you and go on with the program and take any of your questions for those of you that are interested in healing. Winner is Shell. All right, we have a winner. Shell, congratulations. You've won the DVD tonight called Dream Healer by Adam Dream Healer. And it will be sent to you. You can contact Mike or one of the admin. They'll get your information. They'll be able to mail that out to you. Congratulations, Shell. Welcome back, Adam.
Thanks for having me on here.
Again, great. Adam, tell us about some of the events that you have upcoming.
My next conference that I have is in L.A., it's December 10th. And it's an all-day conference. And in the conference, I share a lot about the science behind healing. I talk a lot about self-empowerment. I talk a lot about how you can participate in not only your own health, but the health of those around you. And that's really the emphasis and the focus of the workshop, how you can influence your health and the health of those around you. And I also share a lot of my experiences that I've had. And it's very interesting for anyone who wants to learn more about these energies. And there's a lot of healers there, and it's just a great energy in the room. So many positive, open-minded people, and it's the perfect environment for healing.
Are you going to be coming around the Michigan area at any time soon?
Sorry?
Are you going to be coming around the Michigan area anytime soon?
The Michigan area? I don't have any plans to right now. I actually have a survey set up on my website where people can click off which city they'd like me to come to. And I'm not sure. I can't remember which cities are the ones that I'm considering doing right now. I'd have to double check. But whenever there is a new announcement of where a conference will be, I announce it on my mailing list, and I put it up on the website. So if anyone wants to get updates on when these workshops will be, go to my website, dreamhealer.com, and make sure you're on the newsletter. Make sure you're on the mailing list, because that's very important if you want to get announcements as to what's happening.
Wonderful. And just so you know, Adam, we are posting your website and your information here in the program, in the virtual auditorium. Anybody that would like to call and ask Adam a question, the toll-free number is 877-876-5227. The worldwide toll-free number is 888-810-8322. We'll post it in the room as well.
I've got a question.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Welcome to The People Speak, and what's your question for Adam?
Hello, Adam. I'm listening to the show. I have never heard of you before, and it's very interesting. Let me understand this. What you basically do is self-empower people, and that they do the healing themselves, or do you in some way contribute to their healing outside of giving them this self-empowerment?
Well, the focus of it is self-empowerment, but at my conferences, I also do two-group healings. And that, in so many cases, helps all range of ailments. There are healings there that greatly assist people in their own healing, that push people in the right direction. But I think it's very important to remember that they have to continue with the healing themselves. They can continue doing a lot of these techniques that I show them, and then that's how they can expect to get the most positive results. So the focus is self-empowerment, but there also are group healings that take place. And these group healings are incredibly powerful because the collective energy, the collective intention of, when you have 500 people in the room, all being positive, all knowing that we can influence not only our own health, but the health of those around us, it just makes it the perfect environment for healing. And the collective intention of everyone, it's just a very powerful place to heal.
If I could have one more question, Adam, has anybody come to you verified as being ill, perhaps with cancer, and then you've helped them, and then they've gone back to the doctor and it's been verified that they're in remission or something like that? And are you coming to the California area?
Yes, I've had many documented cases of that, and there's been many TV shows on about me that have verified that also. You can just check on my website. There's literally hundreds of testimonials there. And yes, I will be in the California area. I'll be in L.A. on December 10th.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you, Adam, many of the healers, and first of all, if you do come to Michigan, we have a very, very diverse and fantastic healing and spiritual community. I think it would be a great place for you to invest some energy.
Well, it's definitely somewhere I'm considering going. It's just it's hard to coordinate all of that. So it's something that...
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've written a number of times for one of the largest spiritual magazines in the United States, Phenomenews. I don't know if you've ever heard of Phenomenews.
Yeah, it rings a bell. It's just,
It's a fascinating magazine, and it has, and it's always interviewed some of the most prolific healers of our of the century. Do you work with other healers? Have you ever had opportunity to collectively experience different modalities of some of the large, some of the more progressive healers and some of the more progressive speakers on healing, such as Chopra and Andrew Wiles and any of the people that are out there in the community today?
Well, I'm familiar with their work. I wouldn't say that I've worked too much with other healers. I think that as we talked about earlier, I feel that every healer has their own modality. But what I do though is I'll read about these other healers. I'll go to conferences of other healers, and if there's something that really resonates strong with me, something that I feel makes a lot of sense to me, then I keep it. Then I use that, and then I can incorporate that into my own healing. If there's something that doesn't resonate with me, then I don't include that into any techniques that I would use. So I think that's important for all healers.
Exactly.
You don't have to conform to a certain specific healing modality. If something doesn't resonate with you, don't do that. If something does resonate with you and you feel that it would work powerfully, then use that.
Wonderful.
And so I think it's important to learn from all these different healers and take little bits and pieces of what works for you.
Well, my belief system is that I remain open to all of my teachers, and everything is my teacher. So for me, this is how I try to live my life. You know, somebody said something in our virtual auditorium here, a good friend of mine, Plaster Master, and we have a very diverse community here of people, and a lot of them have a high level of political background. And though it was meant as a sad humor, he said, "To heck with Michigan, send him to Gaza." Have you ever considered going to foreign countries? And to be quite honest with you, I found that many of the ethnic countries around the world, some of the more are very, very open to this. They absolutely believe in
definitely.
This.
I think that it's actually interesting.
I think here in the United States, we probably have a harder time, having people respond positively to
exactly,
than we would all over the world.
Well, it's interesting. You know, if you talk to other people around the world, a lot of people in North America seem to think that the whole world is skeptical about all these sorts of energies and things. When the reality is, the entire world is not skeptical about these energies. The entire world is actually very accepting of these energies.
Exactly.
It's just North America that seems to have a lot of difficulty with a lot of these things. So, but things are changing. Things are changing, and I don't have any plans currently to go to a lot of these other countries, but I am sure that one day I will be, considering my book is now in, I think it's 18 countries now.
Exactly. As I said, I read that, and I found that to be fascinating. And though his statement was meant as a little bit of loving humor in a very sad region of the world, but I think this is something that we have to understand. And you're absolutely right. Here in the United States, the resurgence to this kind of understanding, and I say resurgence because the reality is that this was the true belief system of most people, even in this country. And then and one would have thought that upon the understanding of the quantum sciences, that somehow we would have had a more clear understanding of the relationship between the two. And in fact, what ended up happening is that made a separation of the two for a short period of time.
Well, I think
and now people are going back to that understanding that we need both.
The reason that they had a lot of trouble making the connection between quantum physics and a lot of these paranormal things is the fact that for many decades, quantum physics was simply theoretical. There was nothing to really support. And it's only been very recently, that with the advanced computers and the very sensitive measurements that we can do now, that we're actually able to measure these changes. So it's no longer theoretical. It's actually being put into, there's actually data for this. And it's very convincing.
Let me ask you something. As and I too can see auric fields. I work at it probably a little bit more than perhaps a naturally inclined person like you, but I can analyze and I do assess auras, and I am quite prolific. As a matter of fact, in some cases, I have really been overwhelmed by auric fields in my vision. One of the things, have you ever, obviously you've heard of the crinoline photography, mm-hmm. have you ever compared your images with what the photographs, has that ever something?
Yeah, I've looked at a lot of crinoline photography, and there's sometimes where the image is exactly what I'm seeing. Then there's a lot of times where it's absolutely nothing of what I was seeing at all. And I think the reason for that is, it's a computer program, so the programming is quite
very
theoretical.
Static.
And also, I'm not seeing everything. I'm not seeing every possible frequency. I'm not seeing
In the same breath, is the crinoline photograph actually seeing anything or everything? Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. And there's no way of us knowing either.
Exactly. It's fascinating. I was just curious if you've ever kind of, because I think I know for myself, I've often at some of the area productions here, and spiritual events that we put on. I've actually tested myself a number of times, and what I did positioned myself in a couple of events very close. And you know how the crinoline photographers always have the white backdrop in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sit there and I would focus my efforts and visualizing the auras. And most people were very kind in sharing their photographs after. And I too found that it was very interesting that sometimes I would be like right on,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes that was like, wow, where did I come from? Who do I think I am? You almost want to question yourself at that point.
Yeah, but I think it's also very important to remember that working with these energies, there are so many factors involved that it's impossible to say you just do this and then this is guaranteed to happen. That's not the way anything in the world works.
No.
So why would this
no.
be any different? And it's
exactly.
There's so many
well,
factors.
those were moments way back when I was still very new and fresh and unsure and mm-hmm. and unstable in my path and questioning everything, questioning the legitimacy of am I doing this, or is this real, or am I still crazy?
I think it's very one thing that I should mention, though. I think it's very important to question a lot of these things that you're experiencing. But there comes a point where you have to question it, but at the same time, you have to be open-minded. You can't just question everything and be closed-minded about everything. There's skepticism is healthy, but closed-mindedness
exactly.
is not.
Exactly. I think we have another caller. Do we have a caller with us?
Yes. Hello, Adam. Thank you for coming to the show. This is really very interesting. I wanted to ask you a question about the measurement. You talked about measuring your impulses. How could you deal with something that's really not tangible? How could you measure the intangible? And that's what I'd like to find out. Thank you.
Sorry, I missed the first part of your question. Measuring what?
The intangible. I think earlier, Adam, when you had stated that right now that the quantum sciences have become
okay.
more measurable.
Okay.
And he's questioning how can you measure the intangible?
Oh, well, there's many different ways. One example is a random number generator. It's very easy to measure the randomness in these various devices. They're set up so that it's always random all the time. And then when certain things happen, you can measure the difference that it has on the randomness. And this has been proven over and over again. Another interesting example is the study that I actually recently did at IONS in California. I did this a couple months ago. And it was very interesting. They have this very precise laser, this precision laser, that they can literally count every photon. Like, they know exactly what this laser should look like all the time. And then what they get me to do is I am sitting outside of a Faraday cage. So, a Faraday cage is if you don't know what that is, it's this very thick metal box that literally no electromagnetic frequencies get through, meaning no,
mm-hmm.
No sound, no radio, nothing gets through. So there's no other factors involved. And then what they get me to do is I visualize influencing the laser. I visualize either blocking it or making letting it go through. And when I do this, they measure the difference between what the laser looks like without me there and then what the laser looks like with me there.
Mm-hmm.
And what it showed was that the laser was influenced to the probability of 1 out of 1,000, meaning the probability that I was due just a chance was 1 out of 1,000. And that's just with me. And I wasn't the only person that did this study. There's many, many people that they've gotten to do this study, and I think they've got it to 4 standard deviations, meaning that the probability of it being just due to chance, just for this one experiment, is 1 out of several 100,000. So
okay,
there's
clearly
something happening.
Yeah, thank you. I have another question. How could you heal somebody that you have not virtually seen? Is there a way that you could send that energy? Do you feel those people? And also, how could you give that energy to masses, to large numbers of people, without distinguishing, if you want, the aura of every one at a time?
Well, I think, first of all, intentions affect things far beyond what we consciously know. So I think a lot of healing is happening on a subconscious level, meaning if I'm thinking about healing large groups of people and I haven't met them, that's not what I personally do. But in theory, if I was doing that, then a lot is happening on a subconscious level. I think that even if you're not, if you're trying to heal like a whole country, for example, when you're putting that intention out there, it is influencing things on a very subconscious level. And with regards to healing someone if they're not there, that is a difficult paradigm for a lot of people to get over. How can I work on someone if they're thousands of miles away? But there's actually a lot of scientific proof for that. And what happens is that, if I look at someone's picture, for example, and every healer has their own different way of doing it. I do it through pictures. Some people have to hear a voice. But when you hear these things or see these things, that gives you a connection to that person. That opens up a connection. It's really difficult to describe precisely how this works because we don't understand exactly how it works. But it creates some connection because everything truly is interconnected, and that's been proven by science. There's no doubt about that. There are connections between all these things, and for some reason when you see this person's picture or you hear this person's voice, it really strengthens that connection between you and that individual. And as a result, that energy does get to where it has to go. This energy does not move in such conventional terms. It does not move from point A to point B, traveling through all the conventional space in between those points. It is quite difficult to understand how it moves, and it's quite difficult to visualize how it moves. But the energy does not travel in such a conventional way. It can influence things without traveling across that intervening space.
I think, that one of the things that a lot of people don't understand, thank you very much, Millis. I think one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is the energy is an intelligent entity. This
exactly
is not
right.
A benign, mindless essence.
That's very difficult to measure, too.
Absolutely. It's incredibly difficult to measure, and that's the creative force that we have within us.
Yeah.
One of the things that that I have found that's been very helpful to me is the issues of working, because remote healing for a lot of people is a very, it's like, how can you do that? It's impossible. But let me ask you right now to for one moment to sit and be aware of your arms and be aware of your fingertips.
Well,
suddenly you'll feel your fingertips. Well, at that moment, do you think that energy just kind of stopped there? Was there a stop sign at the end of your fingertips that said, hey, now the energy gets to stop right here, this is the end of my body, and there you shall remain? No, it's not how it works. That energy is a prolific, non-static, fluid, movable essence that pervades all things.
Well, the energy also gets to where it has to go, and I think a lot of healers will find this, if you're working with someone and the person doesn't consciously know what the problem is, when you're sending energy to that person, that person's cells know where that problem is, and that energy will get
to where it has to go.
Yeah,
and they know where it's needed. And they know where it's needed.
They know where it's needed, and it gets to where it has to go.
Many times during my own healing work, we were often asked, "Well, how do you know which part to heal?" I said, "I don't."
Yeah, exactly.
In many cases, I do not.
In many cases,
it is your body that knows.
And in many cases, you're just drawn to that area.
Exactly. Either it will be automatically drawn, your body is going to be drawn to this, and the most you can do is perhaps focus on a particular area that you are desirous of healing, And obviously that flow is going to be enhanced in that area. Many times through breath work. I mean, that's many of the modalities that we use. One of the processes of meditation that I enjoy working with when I'm doing classes is the meditation of discomfort. And in actuality, we find ourselves comfortable in our discomfort zone. And I tell them to breathe right through the discomfort, breathe right through your pain, breathe right through. And that's no more than a focus of the energy. And that's exactly how long distance energy and remote healing work. It's a phenomena that is just amazing.
You know, and science is beginning to pay a lot more attention to this now. And there's more and more scientific evidence building up to support all these things all the time. And it's
there's studies done all over the universe right now, and just about every major university, Reiki and healing energies and modalities are being studied in 10-year blind studies. And I believe that soon we are going to be getting a lot more information from all of this.
Well, the thing that with the scientific community right now is there, you know, a lot of people try to change this view, but the reality is this is really what's happening amongst the scientific community, is that there is literally no doubt amongst the mainstream scientific community that something is happening. There is no doubt that our intentions are not only affecting our own health, but the health of people thousands of miles away and the health of everything. It's affecting things far beyond our conscious awareness. There's no doubt about this. But the only debate is that we have literally no clue of measuring or knowing the exact mechanism as to how this happens. We really don't know. And so science has a great difficulty saying, yes, something is happening, but no, we don't understand how it's happening. So that's really where the trouble comes in.
Adam, let me ask if you agree with me on this, and many of the healers in our communities obviously believe this, that by the time the illness or whatever it is has manifested in the human body, that is really the densest level of our presence. And at that point, it's already been in your auric field, it's been in your spirit for so long.
I agree. I think majority, I wouldn't say all cases. I mean, there's something, you know, like a car accident, for example, or, you know, physical
exactly.
trauma. But in majority of cases where an illness develops over time, that was there energetically far before it was there physically. And
right.
I think a lot of cases, a lot of healers, they'll pick up a problem in a certain area, and that person is not aware of the problem in a certain area. Because it is a developing problem. It's not something that showed up yet. So it's very difficult to include all these factors when trying to tell what's wrong with someone.
Well, you know, it's about that time, folks. I want to thank you, Adam, for being with us tonight. This has been fascinating. It's been particularly enjoyable for me. I, as much as I love my politics, I absolutely love my spiritual relationship even more keenly. It has been an honor meeting you, sir, and speaking to you and having you on our show. We hope to keep tabs on you, and perhaps we can have you come back one day and talk to us as you progress in your healing path. Next week's show is going to be Noam Chomsky on the 21st. That would be next Tuesday night at 8 Eastern time. The people... And please join us on the peoplespeakradio.org for all of our upcoming shows. Adam's website is dreamhealer.com. You can pump that right into your energy search engine. talk about an energy field. The search engines of the computers are an amazing place. Thank you, Adam, for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. It's always great to talk to someone that's so understanding of these energies.
Well, it's the only thing that really exists after all, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Adam. And again, we'll be closing this evening. Thank you all for joining us, the Pal Talk audience, virtual auditorium. Congratulations, Shell, on winning the DVD for tonight. Thank you, Don. And Derry, our webcaster, she's our webmaster. She takes care of everything that you see on our site. Thank you, Mike, our producer. And Good night, everybody. Have a great week.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the table by the relief fountain, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.